doing investments, one of the things I really focus on is suitability. You know, I've gained a little weight. The suit's a little tighter than it was maybe a month or so ago, but it still works. Mike, it still works. But, you know, suitability is very important. Oop, I think I just went back to the beginning. Sorry about that. So what is suitable for you? Suitability is really based on your standards as a town council and also the knowledge and ability of your staff. Suitability, we'll get into how long should we invest in some of these investment instruments. The diversification of those is also very important. You're right now very diversified. You're over-diversified, quite frankly. Kim's doing such a good job. I don't know how she has time to do other stuff, okay? You've got many, many different money market funds. My goal is to help her develop an investment approach that kind of is simpler, more manageable, and can be easily reported to you on a quarterly basis, or at least to the town manager. Markets change. That's why it's important to look at investment policies. That's why we're here with you today. Suitability also means it has to have investment knowledge and experience. The things that you're already investing in, Kim has a good grasp on. That doesn't mean she can get up and teach a class on it, so we'll spend some time on certain things and try to help her and answer her questions, and that's what we're here to do. And I think the investment approach should be very clear, understandable, so anybody can get up there and follow what you're doing. Because, again, it's not your money. It's your money. That's the goal. We've talked about the four things that you can invest in. So what we wanted to do is come up with a practical approach. If we were to do this today and I was to walk out in the parking lot, I've already drawn a little pie chart in my notebook. The way you do investments is probably the similar to the way you do investments and I do investments. You need to have money in the bank at all times to pay your bills. In government, that means 2 to 3 months of your operating expenses. Why? Because we want her to be able to sleep at night. You don't manage it so closely that she goes on vacation for a week and Michael's worried about how to pay those bills. You've got payroll, you've got other expenses every month. So the GFOA says 2 to 3 months. That's about $1.75 million. You have more than that in your local bank. That's a different discussion. They're not in the audience today, I don't think. We'll talk about your banking relationship. But that's really the minimum you want to have, okay? And two people in your department need to know that at all times, okay? So two people, okay? And it's your job to look at the statements and say, hey, we're getting a little too close to $1.75 million. Let's move some more money over at the bank. The second thing is liquidity. And this is overnight liquidity. This could be a local government investment pool, which is an overnight fund, AAA rated. It could be a money market fund, AAA rated. Why is that? Because she can't predict everything that you want to do or that you want to do, right? You may have special projects. You may have a grant that has to be matched. That's very often the case for some of our other clients, our district clients and other cities and towns. So there should be some other funds. Now, I'm not talking about hurricanes. We'll talk about that separately. That could be added to this. I think you need to have at least another $2 million sitting there, okay? And then you have money that does not need to be invested overnight, and that's what we call core money. These aren't pensions we're talking about. We're talking about investing money maybe out to 5 years, and I would suggest in today's environment you take $4 million, $6 million, and invest it. Some mature in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. Now, what have I just done? I've established that you have to have at least so much money at the bank at all times, and at least two people know it. You have to have some liquidity for the town manager and for you to do projects if they come up and grants come up. And then you need to have money that goes out. And every 6 months, then Kim can make a decision, okay, that money is coming due. It's a U.S. Treasury, whatever it might be, a CD. It's coming due. What do I do? Do I need it? Or can I invest it out at the end of the 24-month time period? And that's called laddering. And that's a very successful practice. It's very simple to do. It's very simple to report. And that's something I would strongly encourage you to do. She's doing that anyway now with CDs. CDs are not in vogue as much. Banks really don't want your money as much. So as those mature, I think we can do a little better job with U.S. Treasuries, which is a better risk for you anyway. So these are the things that we kind of took out of the policy that we don't think you needed. They don't make sense. If all of a sudden there's a great rush We just did some bonds for Venice the other day. You're not going to be able to buy those Venice bonds. They're gone the day of sale, and it doesn't make sense. I think we added minimum rating requirements on your money market funds and your LGIPs. That's very important. Local government investment pools are very strong in the state, like Texas. So you can do the state fund right now, which is called Prime, or the SBA. That's the one that froze. If there's any SBA state people in the audience, that's not my favorite one because it did freeze, and that was not a good experience for local governments. The other LGIPs are very strong. We've suggested that the total portfolio, you can raise your percentage in LGIPs up to 50%. It was at 25%. It didn't make sense to have it be so low. It's such a strong investment vehicle for you. There's no cost to get in. There's no cost to get out. They're highly used. So what we are doing is updating the policy. I didn't go page to page through this because really I think it's kind of, no disrespect, it's kind of a waste of your time. We took out a lot of things. We added some things. Staff looked at it. The attorney looked at it. Your auditors looked at it. I could have called my mom. She would have looked at it, but she'd speak to you in Swedish and you wouldn't understand what she's saying. So I think your policy is very good. It's simpler. It's easier to read. I think it's easier to manage. It gives your staff all the investment products that it might ever need, way more than the four that I mentioned earlier. We're going to come up with an investment approach and probably come back to you at some point with the town manager's encouragement to say, here's where we were, here's what we're recommending. And I think hopefully not put you to sleep with that, but you'll see what we're recommending. We want you to be conservative. We want you to have money in the bank. We want you to be able to pay your bills. Sleep at night, that's very important, and have liquidity for things you need to do. Right now, we're in a very odd environment. The Fed met the other day. The Federal Open Market Committee met the other day. A lot of consternation, reduced the federal funds rate, which is the overnight rate, 0.25%, 25 basis points. All the other rates, longer rates, went up. So we've had a period of time where overnight rates, short-term rates are higher than longer-term rates until you get out beyond 5, 7, 10 years. That doesn't make sense. Usually, there's something called a yield curve where overnight rates are the lowest. Then you go out 30 days, it's a little higher rate, 6 months, 12 months. It's been odd because the Fed fund rates have been artificially high, and that'll change. The market thinks we'll reduce Fed funds rate two more times this year. I agree with that. I think that's where we'll go, not in a major way. And at some point, you can have overnight money, and you can have this laddering of 6, 12, 18, 24 months, and that'll make sense for you. Don't go out too far. It'll make sense for you. So that's what our plan would be. Be conservative, and I'm happy to address any questions.
Mr. Larson, thank you so much. Thank you for this presentation. I'm going to open it to our council to see if anyone has any questions. Skip, yeah.
Just one quick one, and it piqued my interest. Quarterly reporting. And I think that's a key, in my opinion. If you mentioned that it would make it simpler for our finance team where they could update quarterly reporting into Michael and to the council, mm-hmm. Is that something that we can push forward?
I overstepped my bounds because I'm not sure we put that in the policy, Michael, but it's a recommendation I make because once you get a quarterly report through staff to you, and you see that, and you see the pie chart, you see what you're investing in, it'll very quickly go on the consent agenda, but it's there, number one. Number two, I believe in transparency. The third goal in investments for the public sector is being transparent to the folks behind me.
Okay. So, and let me ask that question mm-hmm. in a separate way. How difficult, based on your knowledge of what we currently have in our finance team, how difficult will that be once we get that established?
Once we do the investment approach, yes. And we've talked about it, and you've got some CDs that will be maturing, we have to wait for some of that to naturally happen. Once that investment approach is there, give us time to have that happen over the course of 3 to 6 months, I think, looking at your current portfolio. We will help construct kind of what that would look like, the report, and once Kim has done it, she'll be a superstar with it. It'll be very easy for her to maintain. Right now, she's maintaining, I think, 6, 7 money market accounts, all these different CDs, and it's a lot.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. So eventually, it'll be easier.
It'll be easier.
And that's
That's the
twofold
goal.
Question. We get the information quarterly, which is wonderful. Also, it makes it simpler on them. So, good. Thank you.
Right, because he's got a lot of other stuff on your plate, I think. I was told.
Gary, nothing. Bill? No. Joe?
When you talk about laddering, what are we talking about as farthest out point, 36 months?
I would start 24 months.
Okay.
I would make it very simple. You know, one at 6 months, 12, 18, 24 months. That way, if she keeps track of your money at the bank and the other liquidity for other needs, and then she's really making an investment decision once every 6 months. Do we need the money? Maybe part of your core money is part of a project, you know. But I wouldn't go today. I wouldn't go out further than 24 months.
I absolutely agree. And the liquidity is there when you need it.
Right.
Joe, talking to the mic.
I haven't looked at your CIP program, and I don't know what else is on your – I've not been engaged in that discussion yet. But
you know, I agree with the 24 months. And what I like is the fact that the liquidity is there every 6 months.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. Any other questions of counsel? Questions in the audience? No. Okay. if there are no questions, then we'll take – anyone else? No? A motion on the resolution.
Okay. I'll make it. I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 2025-16, Amendments to the Town of Ponce Inlet Investment Policy.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. We really appreciate your presentation. It was excellent. Thank you, and thank you, Kim, for all your work. Thank you. We are at 9. We have no public hearings, and 10A. Okay, this is Ordinance 2025-06, second reading, amending Chapter 18 of the Code. Cliff, could you read it by title only, please?
Yes, ma'am. Ordinance number 2025-06, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending the Code of Ordinances and the Land Use and Development Code related to rental registration and inspection, providing legislative findings, providing for exemptions for certain properties subject to state or federal periodic inspection requirements, providing for inspection fees, providing for enforcement, providing for conflicts and severability, and providing for codification and an effective date.
Thank you, Cliff. Darren, or Mike?
Yeah, there haven't been any changes to the ordinance.
Okay, this is second reading. So are there any questions or comments by council on this ordinance?
None.
Anyone in the audience wishes to speak on this ordinance? Seeing none, then we will take a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed ordinance 2025-06, amending Chapter 18 of the Code of Ordinances and Articles 3 and 10 of the LUDC as prepared by the town attorney related to rental registrations and inspections.
Second reading? Did you say that?
Second reading.
Second reading. Okay, so we have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for all the hard work by our Planning and Development Department on this. Thank you. We are up to 10B, which is the final millage rate and budget for fiscal year 2025-2026. And A is to approve Resolution 2025-13, and 10B is to approve on second reading Ordinance 2025-07. There's two parts to this, and they'll be discussed together once our town manager takes this agenda item and presents to us. But first, I am going to ask our town clerk, Kim Turbano, to read the resolution in whole, adopting the tentative millage rate. And when she concludes, I will then ask our attorney to read by title only the ordinance. Ms. Turbano.
Good evening. Resolution 2025-13, a resolution of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, adopting the final millage rate for the levying of ad valorem property taxes for municipal purposes on all taxable property within the town for fiscal year beginning October 1st, 2025 and ending September 30th, 2026. Stating the percentage by which the millage will be levied is above or below the rollback rate, providing for severability, providing for conflicting ordinances, resolutions, and providing for an effective date. Whereas Florida law requires the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, to pass a resolution or ordinance establishing the final millage rate for levying ad valorem property taxes for municipal purposes on all taxable property within the town limits of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, for fiscal year beginning October 1st, 2025 and ending September 30th, 2026, and whereas the Florida law requires said resolution or ordinance to state the millage rate to be levied and to also to state the percentage by which the millage rate to be levied is above the rollback rate as computed pursuant to Florida law. And whereas the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, has duly considered the budgetary requirements of the town and is now acting in accordance with the terms, provision, and procedures contained in Section 200.065 of the Florida statute at this duly advertised public hearing, now therefore it be resolved by the Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, Section 1, adopting the tentative ad valorem property tax millage rate. The final millage rate for the fiscal year commencing on October 1st, 2025 through September 30th, 2026 is 6.2 5 mils, which equals $6.25 per 1,000 of assessed valuation for the purpose of raising income in the sum of $8,281,730 at a 95% collection rate. Section 2, percentage by which the millage rate to be levied is below or below the rollback rate. The percentage by which this millage rate is to be levied is above the rollback rate of 6.2180 mils is 0.51%.
Done. Thank you. Okay, that's it. Now, for the ordinance by title only, Cliff, please.
Yes, Mayor. Ordinance number 2025-07, read by title only. An ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, incorporating the final audited budget for fiscal year 2023-2024, which began on October 1, 2023 and ended on September 30, 2024, amending the budget for fiscal year 2024-2025, which began on October 1, 2024 and ends on September 30, 2025, adopting the budget for the fiscal year 2025-2026, which will begin on October 1, 2025 and ends on September 30, 2026, providing for severability, providing for conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Cliff. Mike?
Yes, thank you. I don't have any slides to prepare or present tonight, but I would like to present the following. We are here now at the second and final hearing of the proposed budget for the next fiscal year. This is the 10th public meeting of the year devoted to the budget, including 5 meetings of the town advisory boards, 2 town council budget workshops, and 2 town council meetings. This does not include the other regular and special town council meetings that included other budgetary matters like the annual audit and decisions on specific budget items. This process began 9 months ago in January with a meeting of the Essential Services Advisory Board and is concluding here tonight. The budget process in Florida is governed by state law, known as the Truth in Millage Act. State law requires the budget to be balanced between revenues and expenditures. Changes to one must be offset by another. Starting July 1st, the 100-day clock started ticking for local governments to adopt a millage rate and budget by the end of the current fiscal year on September 30th. The millage rate must be adopted by resolution at 3 separate hearings, and the budget must be adopted by ordinance at 2 separate hearings. After adoption over the next 8 business days, the Finance Department must close out the current year budget and set up the next fiscal year's budget in the system so that all anticipated revenue and expenditures for the next fiscal year are ready to go October 1st. Within 30 days from today, the final budget document and all other related tax forms must be turned into the Florida Department of Revenue. This is the state-mandated process. The total budget reflects the entire size, capacity, and cost of the government to deliver the levels of service desired by the town council on behalf of its residents. Level of service is determined each year through the budget process and through the goals set by the town council for staff. The budget expressed in dollars is the total amount of money coming into and out of the town to fund the operations for people, equipment, and materials needed to carry out this work. The total budget includes not only revenue from taxes, but all other sources such as grants, transfers, and carry forwards from the previous fiscal year. When the town receives a grant to pay for something, those funds also show up in the total budget amount. The level of service is not just for the 3,428 permanent residents, but also for the additional 4,000 seasonal residents and tens of thousands of visitors. If all permanent and seasonal residential units were occupied at the same time, we would have a population of almost 7,500. All residents and visitors are members of the public, such as in which we as a local government are required to serve. Getting to our current level of service has been a deliberative process over many years, such as the effort by the Planning and Development Department to improve the town's CRS rating or the accreditation process for the fire department. Sometimes these levels of service improvements are mandated by state law, such as the requirement for the building division to accept permit applications and payments electronically. Another example is state requirements for cybersecurity. Another is the government accounting standards by which we're evaluated each year for our audit. The town does not have a choice in these matters, but must fund them accordingly. Sometimes the levels of service are in response to natural disasters, particularly hurricanes, floods, and climate change, which are driving increased investments in stormwater plans, designs, property acquisition, and construction, over $1 million since 2022 and continuing into next year. Sometimes the levels of service result from other factors outside of our control, like increasing number of visitors. Even though Ponce Inlet has not grown significantly since 2021, in that same time, Volusia County itself has grown by 35,000 people, and the East Central Florida region has grown by 276,000. We know that some of this population visits our beaches, parks, restaurants, and attractions, and that this number increases during holidays and special events. For Memorial Day weekend, there are almost 32,000 trips into and out of town. On July 4th weekend, almost 29,000. Our year-to-date traffic numbers coming into and out of town for the entire year is almost 2,100,000. Every year when the new budget cycle begins, we as staff assess and try to improve the budget process both internally and externally for boards, council, and the public. I meet with all department heads and office managers as a group at the beginning and end of the process to look for ways to make the process more efficient. I also meet with my budget team throughout the year to assess where we are and how to achieve the direction that is set by the town council. My direction to staff at the beginning of this budget cycle was to reduce expenses across all departments, with a goal of beginning to lower the millage rate closer to historic levels. Departments were asked to base their budget requests on needs, not wants, and be prepared to justify significant changes to spending levels. I asked each department to prioritize their capital improvement projects, to see if items could be spread out over multiple years, and to be realistic about what they could accomplish. The end result of this effort is the budget before you tonight, which is lower than the current fiscal year, factoring in the direction from council, along with those items we can control and those outside of our control. The law requires this budget hearing to be advertised in the newspaper with these revenues and expenditures. The budget itself is adopted by ordinance, which makes it a matter of local law. Ordinances, including the budget ordinance, go through two readings. And just like with any ordinances, the first reading is the opportunity for changes to be made. Any changes directed by town council are then incorporated into the ordinance for second reading, when the revised ordinance is presented for final consideration. This budget was approved by the council on first reading with no changes being directed. The budget presented to you tonight is the same as the version presented on first reading, with the exception of $5,400 and a few minor internal department transfers. Governments that do not adopt a budget by the deadline receive negative marks on their audits as a sign that they don't have their stuff together. This in turn can affect their creditworthiness, ability to obtain grants and loans, and other negative impacts. Our staff works extremely hard to make sure the budget complies with state law and that we continue working toward our 10th straight year of perfect audits. Now, we've received a lot of suggestions from the public throughout the year to consider for the next budget cycle, such as setting millage rate targets, actively working to find greater efficiencies and savings, minimizing overtime, basing future pay increases on merit performance rather than across the board, regular review of actual spending compared to budget amounts, analyzing actual versus budget amounts for prior years to minimize over-budgeting and taxation in future years, and many others. And so we greatly appreciate and thank the members of the public for their time at work for us this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. And I will underscore that we are greatly, we do greatly appreciate the members of the public and the suggestions. So this is second reading of the budget ordinance, and we are bringing to a close an extensive and a deliberative process. In accordance with Florida law, the town is obligated to establish a millage rate and adopt the annual budget. And that's why we're here this evening. Now, we've had this budget information for quite some time. We've all, council members and the public, have had the opportunity to meet with our finance department, department heads. And I know that there were many questions by council and residents. They've been asked, they've been answered. Some have been published on the website. And I trust that each of us have availed ourselves to all the opportunities to have our questions answered. And with that, I open it to the council right now for any comments, statements, or questions. Joe?
None.
No. Yes.
Yeah, just a couple. And again, thank you, residents, for your emails. It was really eye-opening for a lot of us, and I do appreciate it. Michael, one question that I did have, and I did have discussion with Michael about this today, but it was an email from Mr. Carney, and again, it was concerning our purchase versus lease vehicles that we all agreed upon that we were going to have a hybrid. Mr. Carney had one question that I thought was kind of intriguing, so I wanted to address it, and Michael can respond to it. But based on our current agreement with the council, Mike and staff will bring back to us two options for either purchasing the vehicle or leasing the vehicle from Enterprise or whomever. And then they will give us the financial data, and then the council will make the determination of how we proceed, which way we decide to go. John's question was based upon the interest rate that he calculated from Enterprise. Could we not go to a bank and get a better rate if we decided to finance, which I know we don't do that, but.
Yeah, for individual vehicles like that, we're not allowed to do that.
Okay.
I mean, government banks won't let us do that. I mean, it's too low of an amount.
Okay, and that answers that. So again, I just want to clarify to the public that, again, once the decision's made for a new vehicle, the staff will bring back to the council two options. The council will decide whether we move forward with purchase or if we decide to lease, if it's a police vehicle and we think that we can term it out sooner and make more money, but that'll be left up to the council. And Mayor, I do have one thing I'd like to read quickly, if I may. I want to say a budget millage rate of 6.25 is a good starting point of getting the town of Pond Sentinel back to a more historical average run rate of 5.9 mills. John Carney, you're correct that even though we dropped the millage rate down from 24-25 rate of 6.4559, we still added $92,000 more to the overall town budget. Steve Fields and Shannon White, look at the email dated 9/16 to all council members and the possibility of adding to our town reserve again in 24-25 budget year. I did ask the question at our last meeting of Michael if he felt we'd be adding more to the town reserve. Again, he replied yes, but understandably, until our April yearly end audit, he could not give us a number. I hope your $1 million is correct. Barbara, Ed, and Michael Lang, your email dated 9/15 concerning budget information was very informative and eye-opening. This information not only applies to our 25-26 budget, but going forward into our 26-27, as Michael has already stated. It also applies to the future salary study that's being completed by MGT. I'll be scheduling a meeting with Mike Disher and staff to cover the points of your presentation. Mike and I had a conversation today, and I asked him if he could allow me about 2 hours. So, you know, I asked about the finance team. So Mike will be scheduling that for me, and sometime between next 3 to 4 weeks would be great. We've received multiple feedbacks from our residents, and I want to say thank you for your time and efforts. It was not wasted. It's given us a lot of valuable information, both to the town staff and the town council members. We have a lot of work ahead to reach our goal at 5.9 mils. It is a goal. We're not sitting up here and saying that's what it's going to be, but you have to have a goal to try to reach in 26, 27. And the information you've given us will help us achieve that goal. Please continue to share your thoughts with both the Ponce Inlet Town staff and your Ponce Inlet Town Council meeting, council members. Thank you.
Bill? You're good. Gary?
Well, I like what Skip said, and it mirror images what we see here. And I know and appreciate the effort and the townspeople that have spent the time to go over all of this information and come up with opinions is very much appreciated. And the staff who spends hours preparing this, and it's nice to see it's come to a conclusion.
Thank you, Gary. And yes, it's already been said. Thank you, each and every one of you. We know it takes a great deal of time and analysis. So I will open this up to the public now. Mr. White.
Shannon White, 39 Coastal Oak Circle. And I thank each one of you here, the town council, mayor, Mike, staff. I do believe that there has been progress in the budgeting process. However, it has exposed many opportunities and issues. We cannot depend or expect our ability to sustain or maintain the trajectory of our revenues or our expenses due to the lack of growth of Ponce Inlet. We're constrained. Therefore, our financial management must be highly scrutinized with true cost-benefit analysis. We need to address our needs, and I've heard it, Mike, I heard you say that. I'm really glad to hear that. We must need to address our needs for our community. All studies must have clear set parameters, goals, objectives, with cost expectations, not pie in the sky, not wish lists, but true objectives. No blank checks. Our council needs to set these expectations for our town and departments. Once we identify these issues with the monthly or quarterly reviews, as the financial individual just Larson, recommended for our investments, we need to do it for our expenditures also and our revenues. Once items have been or issues been recognized, we need to immediately address them, not wait, not budget for them, not gloss over them, such as overtime, turnover. If these are not addressed, the costs become compounding and out of control. Every dollar counts in running any municipality or business. Every dollar counts. What is the actual cost benefit for the usage of e-bikes, golf carts, a tree study? What is the cost benefit? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. White. Mr. Field.
Steve Field, 6 Mars Old. Just to further clarify what Skip said earlier, I was the one that sent the email out pointing out that through the end of August, we were under budget by $1.8 million. Hopefully all you guys took that into consideration And just making an assumption, I did planning for a long time. I'll assume that you're probably going to be favorable by $1 million this year, which will go against the general reserve funds, and that's fine. But I think that maybe we need to expand on the general reserve fund some, because I have some ideas. You know, instead of leasing the cars, why don't we use the general reserve fund to pay for the car? And that way, because we're not collecting interest, the interest we would be paying Enterprise is greater than the interest we're collecting on our money in the bank. So just food for thought. But I appreciate the financial staff and Mike. I'm sure I bore them to death when I come to see them, but I think we have a pretty good rapport, and I think we all learn a fair amount of things. But I have some ideas. I like to print them out and give it to you. I'd really like to see an overtime workshop that was discussed a couple months ago, and it should be open to the public. And at that workshop, I'd like to see the department heads come and present their ideas for reducing overtime, because they're the ones that can most affect it. Everyone should have ideas to reduce overtime and share with them and brainstorm and find another way to do that. I mentioned about the car purchase with competitive bids. I know we like to use Enterprise. You also, there's a state co-op or some co-op that you guys use, or even direct dealerships. Let's get the bids out there and talk to them. Pay for the car when we need it. Trade it in when we buy the new car. Let's not spend any more money on interest than we have to. I think looking at the organization of 70 people, I really think we have too many managers. I mean, you have one manager, a director, that has one direct report. Organizations in an environment we are in today need to flatten the organization. You have a manager that has no one reporting to him. And, you know, if it's a title, great. But if you really wanted to do a survey, a salary survey, those titles mean something. And I think it impacts what your perspective is. The other thing is, I think you need to look at all individual incentives, stipends, and tuition. Are they an annual thing, or just one time, or what? I mean, it looks like it's just expected they get it every year. I think Bill said it correctly. Stipends typically are for work done outside normal work hours. Right, Bill? I don't think we understand the DOGE directive, but I suggest that we postpone the firehouse study until we understand where DOGE is coming from. It could be just for a year, but I don't think it's a burning issue that we can't wait another year to do that study, because I think DOGE is going to give us some direction. When you're talking about the salary study, we need to use W-2 compensation, not salary range, to assess employees if they're underpaid. Stormwater reserve that we talked about a couple times ago. You know, you talk about putting the reserve for the town employees. We already have them in the budget. We should set the reserve up just for overtime and outside contractors. I mean, why are we reserving for something we already have in the budget? Benefits. I think that we need to compare our current budgets against other towns, because certainly the budget benefits that I see here are more lucrative than I've seen in other towns and the public companies. And I think Shannon already addressed about the study shouldn't be clearly defined. But thank you for your time. I do appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Mr. Field. We appreciate your time in this. Thank you. Yes, Barbara Davis.
Barbara Davis, 4871 Sailfish Drive. I also appreciate all the time that staff and council and management has spent with us. And I have learned more in 6 weeks then I'm ashamed to say I did not know any of this until they gave me so many documents and I did so much research. You may have noticed I have a new hairdo. My hair curled today when I picked up a Newsweek and I found this, that Governor, yeah, there it is. Governor DeSantis has a new plan for a property tax vote on the, put a charter amendment in the 2026 that we would not have homestead tax in Florida. I mean, you know, we have to prepare for hurricanes because we live in a barrier island. If that passed, you look at, okay, we're 77% homesteaded, 46%, I mean 70% dependent on the homestead, 46% are homestead, that's 35% less revenue we're going to get. So, you know, we think this can't happen. Well, in 2008, the big recession with the housing market crash, it happened. We had to reduce the budget by 26% one year and 11% the next year just because there was no money. The property values crashed. So I don't understand why this keeps going up. Now, I've heard several suggestions that it could be the lawsuit. Well, Mr. Shepard settled that lawsuit in 2019. And Janine actually said in 2018, contrary to prior years, when legal expenditures come in under budget, this year we're going to need to raise the budget a little bit. If you go to the Department of Revenue, you can see they give you a calculation of the budget for every year. If you look at the budgets, yeah, Janine had to expand that 16% one year and 19% another year. In 2017, it was 9.5, and in 2018, 6.2. However, since that time, it has not increased until, according to Department of Revenue, 2023, we went up 29% or 28.2, depending on which number. And then the next year was 12%, which is just precisely how this chart looks. I don't know where that money's gone. Some of the explanation is that we have been building up our reserves. Well, then I went to our reserves, the ordinance that was passed in 2009, and the ordinance is tied to the amount of operating expenses. So if our operating expenses go down, technically our reserve amount would go down. So that with the $1 million, 1.1 that went in last year, maybe $1 million this year, we have plenty in reserves. All we have to do is reduce the operating budget, and our reserves are absolutely fine. Now, the millage rate issue is, you know, it's like Matt Reinhart said, you can keep it flat. If your property values go up, you're still going to pay more. So the fact that we are now flattening out our budget here like this, it doesn't matter. It's gone up this much, 67%. So if we flatten it out, it's still up 67% from that. Our property values went up 65% since 2020. Our taxes went up astronomically, but that's county and Ponce Inlet. Mr. Fields last month handed out the baseline CPI. It's hard to understand where all this, why we have to keep increasing the budget, why we need all this level of overture. If you reduce the operating expenses, we don't need to build up our reserves. We don't have any more astronomical legal fees. We don't need a huge amount in reserve. We've already got it. So, you know, looking forward to the future, we have to prepare. I mean, if this happens with the 2026 charter amendment, you don't think 60% of the citizens in Florida are going to go, yeah, okay, no property taxes, we're in. So please, plan for the future. Thank you for all the information. See you next week.
Thank you, Barbara. Yes, Mr. Lang.
Quick five-page presentation here. Michael Lang, 4366 South Atlantic.
First of all, I want to say thank you to the town council and all of the employees that helped us compile this information, provided a lot of good data for us. So we have a group of concerned citizens who compiled that information, and we're starting to look, first of all, at the bigger components to provide a little bit of trending here. So if you look at page 2, there's 5 pages total. And I think Barb just showed you this chart, but you see the slope of the line from 2021 to 2026 escalates pretty dramatically, you know, 67% the budget increase, with a 18% increase in the number of employees and about a 4% increase in the population. That's according to Google. So we took that on page 3. We took those starting in 2021 as a baseline and looked at, okay, if the budget had just increased at a CPI rate, where would we be? And then that's the, there's a difference in there for those 5 years of about $10.5 million, above what CPI alone would have justified spending. So if you translate that to the number of citizens in the town, everybody spent about $3,000 over those 5 years more than they would have if the budget just stuck with the CPI increase. So we have some questions about what caused that, and we're still looking at that. If you could go to page 4, please, Stephanie. Thank you. So that payroll, it turns out payroll is about $7 million of the $10.5 million of the 2026 budget, according to our projections. These are all projections based on information provided to us. So if you look at by department, about half of that, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong in terms of whether it should be these percentages, but about more than half of it is the fire department and the police department, which, by the way, I've got to say I appreciate both of those departments very much, and everyone in the town I appreciate very much. Anyway, so we broke it down. If you look at page 5, we looked at payroll because that's the biggest component here. And these are estimates, many categories. The base pay was provided based on 2025's numbers. But then included above that is overtime, car allowance, cell allowance, some the benefits, which the town pays 100%, retirement, stipends, and other incentives. So if you break out that portion, that's 57% above just the base pay amount. So we made recommendations. I got a minute left. We're on the last slide. Our recommendations are to institute an immediate hiring freeze along with a formal process for analysis and justification for any new hires. Institute pay for performance instead of the existing automatic uniform pay increases. Establish a budget limit for annual spending in alignment with the 2021 fiscal year budget plus CPI. So in other words, getting back to that target I heard talked about at 5.9. Then have an annual formal review of justification for each stipend, incentive, vehicle allowance, cell allowance, or additional compensation by April of each year, and that would be done by the town council. And then the last recommendation is incentivize cost-cutting measures for all the employees. And I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lang. We see how much work went into this, and we're very appreciative of it. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Mr. Carney.
John Carney, 38 Coastal Oak Circle. And thank you, Mayor, for letting me speak, and appreciate the council listening to our thoughts and concerns, and also Mr. Disher and his staff. I wanted to talk for just a few minutes today about millage rates. So last meeting, Mr. Disher had a 13-year, I think, millage rate chart, and you all got pretty excited that that was flat over those 13 years. And so I kind of thought about that, and you won't be surprised that I have a contrary view of that that I'll present to you now. And so when you look at the millage rate from a taxpayer point of view, flat might be sort of neutral arbitrarily, and then up would be bad and down would be better. But the millage rate in and of itself doesn't really tell you very much at all. So if you look at the actual budget, and Barbara just talked about that, and it kind of looks like a hockey stick. So we were flat for a lot of years, around $5 million, $6 million a year, and then we've gone up now to $10, $11 million a year in a pretty short period of time. And that too, really is kind of arbitrary. That might be the right number for this town. That might be the amount that we need to spend to provide services. But I'd like to see some justification for that. I'd like to see some analysis. You know, we're paying money for a salary study. I've never seen a benchmarking study of what does it cost to run a town this size. I don't think we have that data. Mike just talked about looking at, you know, FY 1920 plus CPI. I'd like to see that as a baseline that we go off of, because the reality, we all know this, but maybe we just don't want to face up to it, but the reality is there's two factors that go into the tax rate. One of them is millage, and you all control that one, but it's been bouncing right around 6%, so it's effectively a constant. And the other one is the real estate values. And so real estate, in real terms, has dictated the budget of this town, period. It has. And that might be okay if real estate was a good analog for the cost to operate a town government, but I don't think that it is, and I don't think any of you are going to argue with me about that. Real estate values are driven by interest rates. They're driven by supply and demand of buyers, driven by cost of materials to build homes, the cost of building lots, a lot of things, but they're not driven by anything that sounds like the cost of running the town government. And so when I see a flat millage rate, what I see is that the one tool that you have, that's the only tool you have to control the budget, you don't use. And so that millage rate should be changing, because when the property values spike up in a year, instead of letting the town government spend that money, you need to really be looking at what the requirements are and spend the portion of that money that's necessary, but not just arbitrarily ride that. And when you look at the numbers that we have in front of us, and Barbara was just quoting some of those, I mean, the town spending has pretty much mirrored exactly the real estate market. And that's not, to me as a taxpayer, that's not acceptable, because that, like I said, the real estate market is not a good analog for what the cost of running a town and government is. And so I'd appreciate for you all to take that into consideration and really think about what should the cost be. And Mr. White, I appreciate that you've got a target on millage, but I'd like to see a target on spending, because the millage may be the appropriate measure if the real estate market is flat, but if the real estate market's up or down, then that millage rate to get the same level of spending would be quite different. So,
thank you, Mr. Carney. Thank you very much. Mrs. Carney.
Good evening. Bonnie Carney, 38 Coastal Oak Circle. Like, thank you for letting me speak. I apologize. Some of what I'm going to say now is repetitive after what other people have said, but I'll just read what I have anyway. I have some points to make, and I have some questions. I'll re-ask the questions at the end if somebody would like to address them. So I'll just start. Number one is, you know, we spend a lot of money on salaries and stipends and allowances, and we're also required to pay for these costly outside contractors and consultants and studies. And, you know, external support is needed sometimes, but it's too much. We have a pretty bloated town employee list, very top-heavy, ever-growing, and yet we're constantly paying for outside people to do additional things. That needs to be brought in. We need to either get the employees to adopt some of the duties or eliminate some question the actual need, not just whether or not we can pay for it. Number two, so we have a town manager who receives a salary and compensation. Mr. Scales receives a good compensation plus a stipend to be number two, and yet you guys don't trust them for performance reviews, or you don't trust them to hire managers who can make performance reviews. And if you just let our money get handed out like it's a participation trophy. Okay, you were employed here, have some extra money. And it's not inconsequential. It's not free money. It's our money. And to continue to just give it out as a participation trophy, I feel is negligent of the council and the administration, whoever's responsibility that decision is. I'd like to remind us, council's obligation is to act as stewards of our money and not as advocates for the employees. And you must start a schedule to reduce and eliminate some of these stipends and allowances and freebies and such that are going on that have now been presented to you. This needs to come down. Occasionally it's going to be worth it. Incentive pay is great. If you can come up with a cost-saving measure and you give a stipend for that, that's fine. But cell phone allowances for office staff that are sitting there, you know, paying people to drive to and from work, this stuff needs to really be brought down. You really should independently review the police and the fire staffing in this town. We constantly see what appear to be way too many man hours spent for a town that's this size with this few incidents. And I feel like, you know, being told by people who are in a position to benefit if they have more staff, that's not really the right information to make that decision on. It's really the needs and the amount of overtime and, you know, what's the value. I'm not saying that we don't need police and fire. I know I'm going to get accused of that. That's not what I'm saying. Just evaluate the man hours. Maybe go back a few years and see what the man hours were and how they've changed. In October of 22, Mr. Scales was recommended to serve as the public safety pro tem, oversee the fire, the police, the public works, and the IT department. And he got an additional stipend so that he could help the new town manager in this transition period. That was 3 years ago. You just revoted him more stipend to continue to do that. That was stated as an assistance program to get the new manager up to speed, and we're still paying him. We have, I think, two IT personnel, plus their director, number two, Mr. Scales, and the town manager, all connected to the IT department. But we don't really have anything automated. I've seen examples, at least two tonight, and probably we could come up with more. Writing code, town ordinance code, for the new stormwater stuff. You know what? AI can do that. The finance stuff that came up. Oh, her dance card is full. She's got a lot. Okay, doing a great job. AI can do that. We need to be exploring this. We got an IT department, people that are supposed to be overseeing it. This stuff can be automated. AI can do a lot of this. We can eliminate a lot of this employee overhead that we have. And I just want to say I appreciate that you now seem to be paying attention. You know, a lot of people that speak here are executives. They've got finance experience, and they've been dismissed in the past. It seems like maybe that's not happening anymore, so we all do appreciate it. But the numbers that they've come up with, this stuff was there. They got it from the staff. It was there, and none of you found it. None of you, I think, looked for it. And that's what we've been saying all this time when we keep getting dismissed. So may I ask my questions that I wanted?
Yes, you may ask.
I want to know why we're still paying a stipend for a transition period that was 3 years ago. I'd like to know if we're ever going to get a strategic approach for automation, AI, et cetera. And I would like to know when is the salary study meeting that we were promised was going to happen. There was supposed to be a working meeting for the salary study. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mike, are you able to address now, or would you prefer to respond in an email?
Yeah, I can try to address some of those now.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, the AI, that's a good question. We're actually using that now in a limited capacity. What you're suggesting is taking that a step further to automate, come up with a plan to automate certain tasks with the goal of reducing staff and overhead. We're not there yet, but we are slowly adopting it individually within different departments. As far as the salary study, that is, we're still working with a consultant on the remainder of funds in the contract for this fiscal year. The time to review that has not been